Hi, my name is David Thorne, and welcome to episode 20 of the AI for Churches podcast. In this episode, Bart and I chat about all things AI and the cool ways we've been using it recently. I hope you find this episode helpful to your church and ministry.
Welcome to the AI for Churches podcast. Our goal is to equip pastors and church leaders with resources related to artificial intelligence, helpful for sermon prep, creative ministries, outreach, and more. We do this by providing exclusive insights from AI experts, church leaders, and innovators actively leveraging AI to amplify the gospel and reach more people for Jesus Christ. Here are your hosts, Bart Blair and Dr. David Thorne.
Welcome to another episode of the AI for Churches podcast. My name is Bart Blair. I am the sidekick to the one and only David Thorne. David, thanks for having me back on your podcast again and letting me be the first voice that everybody gets to hear.
Well, I wouldn't have it any other way.
It's always fun to get together with you to chat about all things artificial intelligence related, primarily as it affects the local church. What's cool is that we record these podcast episodes, but in reality, you and I probably have multiple conversations every single week about AI and how that's impacting the church and pastors and even the work that we're doing day in and day out. And you pitched an idea to me that maybe you and I should just actually get on a call and record some of the things that we've been sharing with each other. And so that's what we're going to do today. So I'll hand things over to you and let you kind of lead this conversation.
Yeah. So Bar and I were just talking and we were doing something amazing with AI, and we called each other and we're like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. And then we started just riffing off all the cool things we've been doing with AI recently. Just small things, you know, church things, life things. So I said, man, we should just jump on a call. And there's people out there who just maybe would want to hear, what are some ways that you can use AI in your daily life and in your work life, and especially in your church life? So Bart, in this call, I want us to share two things. I want us to start sharing some common ways that we've been using AI recently. And then as we do that, I want us to make some notes of some tips that we can share for people out there who are trying to figure out how they should use AI, use large language models or image generators. So those are our two tasks for this call. And let's just start. Let's start with not important things we've done. So let's start. Let's open the book of our topic by ways we've used AI and large language models that are frivolous or silly or non, just life things.
Wow. I can honestly say recently, I probably haven't done much frivolous. I haven't had much time. I haven't had much time for life lately. I've had so much work and ministry stuff going on. But some things that I've done with AI, ChatGPT, Gemini, Claude, those are kind of the three places that I primarily live, is I've created some recipes that I've tried from time to time. I'm like, hey, I have this really cool seasoning, this spice that I bought, and I really don't know what to do with it. And I've got these three or four ingredients, and I kind of got this from you. I knew that you did this a while back, cookie recipe or something. I'm like, okay, I have this spice or this seasoning, and I'm not really sure what it's good for. It's some kind of Southeast Asian spice whose name I can't pronounce. And I'll ask Claude to give me a recipe with this spice and pork chops and potatoes, and let it create a recipe for me. I'm not a recipe follower. Even when I have recipes, I kind of use it as a general guideline, which I think is really a good way to use AI in a lot of ways. But it gives me some ideas like, oh, how I can use this and what it'll be useful for. So I've done that a few times. Yeah, that's probably as far as frivolous. I've played around with like some song lyrics, just like goofing around and like getting AI to create like some song lyrics for me. I'm a frustrated musician, so I do play the guitar and sing and write songs from time to time. And I've played around with it a little bit. I honestly haven't come up with anything that's worth sharing, but I have played around with it for that.
Yeah, for example, marjoram. What do you do with marjoram? So if anyone's listening to this podcast and you don't know what even marjoram is, or even if I'm pronouncing it correctly, You should go open up your ChatGPT app, which I hope you have on your phone. If you haven't, go download ChatGPT and download Claude, put it on your phone, and ask it what you do with marjoram. So there's a task for anyone who's listening. I have a few kind of just kind of fun examples. I was in Colorado just a few weeks ago, and we were sitting, we were driving, and there's a car that was at the stoplight ahead of me. And I had no idea what kind of car it was. And I can generally figure out by just the little icon on the back, and I couldn't figure it out. So I took a picture of the car and I uploaded it, that image, to ChatGPT, and I said, what kind of car is this? And it knew. It said, my picture wasn't great. It was just, I was at a stoplight. I wasn't driving. I was at a stoplight, took the picture, threw the phone at my kids and said, ask ChatGPT what kind of car that is. And it was a Polestar car, and it gave me some information about the car. I loved it.
I think I did the same thing because I saw a Polestar and I didn't know what it was. And I used my Google Lens to figure out what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. And here's another one. And this is a little bit, embarrassing, but we have to be honest on this podcast. Just if we have some values, being honest, saying what you know when you know it, and being honest when you don't know stuff. My family and I are fairly addicted to doing the New York Times daily puzzles. And I don't always know the answers to the New York Times daily puzzles. And I will tell you that ChatGPT and Claude are one of my secret friends when it comes to
GPT is what it is, right? Cheat GPT. It's cheat GPT.
Because
you're cheating.
Maybe I am, but I mean, I usually do it at night, and man, I don't want to go to bed. I mean, do I want to sit there with like all the answers and there's one I can't get? That's when I bring up cheat GPT, as you call it, or I don't know what that version of, what do you want to call Claude? But those are my secret friends, and I ask them those questions, and they usually can point me in the right direction.
All right. So for those of you who want to cheat on your New York Times puzzles or any other puzzles, know that you can use AI for that. Do we need to disclose that we've used AI, to cheat on the New York Times crossword or whatever? Is it worth noting?
I don't tell my family that I do. And
I'm assuming they don't listen to this podcast, so they'll never know.
They may never know, but all right, that's enough for fun things. Let's move into more work related, church related stuff. And why don't you go first, Bart? Is there anything that you've done recently?
Yeah, obviously, a lot of what we've talked about on this podcast, as far as things that pastors and church leaders can use AI for, a lot of it is sermon centric. But I realize, as you and I were preparing for this conversation, that I've done a few things recently that really had nothing to do with sermon prep. And those were some of the things that I wanted to share. Now, they're all large language model focused. I don't use a lot of image generation stuff. I do use some video tools and some things like that. But one of the things from a work-related standpoint, and I know that you did something similar here, and I'll let you kind of riff off of this, is we recently did at Missional Marketing a client survey, and we had about 140 of our church partners that we do marketing and coaching and consulting services for, filled out a survey. And one of my responsibilities for the team was to take all the data from that survey and analyze it and then present it to our entire executive team. And so I did it last year. We only had 40 respondents last year because we sent the survey to a much smaller subsection of our client base. This year, we had about 140 of our churches respond to it. And I'm like, wow, that's a lot of data and a lot of comments for me to sift through. And I used both Gemini and Claude, uploading the data, the survey results, and asked both of them to give me analysis, evaluation, to write commentary, to write action items, things that are noteworthy. I just kept asking question after question after question, and had both of those LLMs create sort of a synopsis or a thesis for me on what the survey results were. And then I was able to kind of put my presentation together based on some of the data that the large language model observed that I might have missed, because, you know, when you're reading a spreadsheet, you're looking at like one cell at a time, really. It's kind of hard to look at all the stuff together. And so that was super helpful for me. I know that you were doing something similar with an internal team survey that you conducted.
Yes. So Missional Marketing has a whole bunch of products and services. You know, we help hundreds of churches across the country be found online. That's what we do. And so we had all this data that we asked our coaches about, you know, what do you know about our products and services and what's going well and what's not going well? I had so much fun. So I definitely use Claude and ChatGPT. Before I go any further, why did you use two? Because before I jump into my answer, I just want to pause, because tell me why you use ChatGPT and Claude, because I did too, but
I used both, because you always tell us that we should use more than one when we're doing work like this. they're completely different large language models. So it's like going to two different friends with different life experience and asking them for advice on something, right? They're going to give you their advice based on their life experience, their perspective, how they know you, how they see the situation. And so, I use Gemini and I use Claude as the two that I use primarily. I'll use ChatGPT from time to time, but those are the two that I use most of the time. And I actually will oftentimes combine the information that I get from both of them, and then I'll consolidate that over in one or the other. Typically Claude. Claude is my favorite. If you listen to this podcast, you know that Claude is my buddy. That's the place that I live most of the time. But I just, they both evaluate and analyze the data sort of differently and look at it like two different friends who have two different perspectives.
Yes. So that's, I think, a tip number one I'm going to say. When you are doing a task related to a large language model, always bring up more than one large language model if you feel comfortable. If you don't, just bring up one, and that's a great place to start. But if you do feel comfortable, you know, if you get advice, you want to get advice from more than one friend, as Bart mentioned. So I do that. I did that too. So I brought up my friends, and I was especially using my friend Claude, but I did it in multiple ways. I would just copy like a question and everyone's answers and ask for an analysis. Then I would copy the whole thing and ask for an analysis. What was interesting in Claude is Claude has this thing called artifacts, where it can kind of show you visually, in kind of a nice visual format, the results of your question, of your prompt. And so it was giving me these great tables of just like, here's the bottom line of the data. And then what would happen is I would then ask Claude more questions. And so that's kind of a point number two as a tip, is you never want to assume whatever answer that a large language model offers you is the end of the discussion. When you're chatting with a large language model, it's just that. It's a chat. You're talking with a friend on a topic who in some ways is very smart, but in some ways is very dumb. And so I would get these results and I said, ooh, can you give me that data in a table? And you could ask Claude to re-give me data in a different format. And doing that, man, I just had so much fun. Maybe not everyone would have so much fun doing this task, but I definitely had a blast. And it was so helpful because I just felt so clear in my head after about 20 minutes of analyzing all this data. I started being able to tell a story, and I would even include things like people's notes. I would copy the notes and say, give me an analysis of what are some of the strengths and the weaknesses that we can identify from these notes. What are some key words that stick out from the notes that people that our coworkers are sharing? I did the same thing with the analysis of the tools and of every question. I would ask, give me the observations of strengths and weaknesses and items we might need to work on in response to the respondents' answers.
Let me take that, what we just shared, and let's jump into a real world pastoral application for what we just discussed. And here are a few things that kind of come to my mind. You're an executive pastor and you want to evaluate financial data, giving pull reports out of your church management software, put them into the large language model and ask it questions. Things that you want to know, things that you might not readily be able to see. If you're a pastor and you want to check the spiritual health and satisfaction of people in your church, do a church-wide survey, put out a questionnaire, 3 questions, 30 questions, whatever you want. Take all that data, put it in those large language models and have them help you synthesize an action plan for your church based on the data and the results that you're getting. Do a community-wide survey. I'm planting a church in the community that I live in. And last fall, we did a community-wide survey where we asked people questions about what they would be looking for if a new church were to come into town and what their church experience was and how far, if they attended a church, how far they currently drove to attend their church and just different questions like that. Take that data, dump that into a large language model and get it to help you synthesize some tangible action steps based on the data that you're getting from these surveys and these questionnaires that you're doing. Those are a few like real world, in the church applications that I can think of that you can use this strategy for.
Yeah, I love that. And just take that a step further or add a little different flavor to it. In our church databases, there's tons of data. A church database is data. And there's all kinds of just numbers. Like if you keep track of just giving numbers in general, budgeted versus giving numbers, what you budgeted versus what was actually given. You have numbers of how many people attend your groups, individual group attendance. You have church attendance, event attendance, all these various things. And notice nothing I'm talking about involves individual people's names. I'm not talking about, you know, like when we talk about privacy, we've talked about privacy on this podcast before, and there's areas where you should be concerned, areas where you should not be concerned. Nothing I'm talking about here involves, you know, super, super secret data. These are just numbers. But to what Bart said is you could take those numbers and say, comparing our giving numbers in over the last 6 months and our small group numbers over the last 6 months, what kind of analysis should we expect moving forward? And what relationships can you identify from those, comparing those two numbers? I have no idea what it will come up with, but that's the kind of stuff you can use a large language model for.
Right. If you're sitting around as a staff and you're asking yourselves questions about how to improve your small groups, how to get more people engaged, or how to better track the data that you have using an AI tool like Claude or ChatGPT is a great way to do that.
Yes.
Can I share a couple of other things that I've done recently?
You can.
Okay. So I had a church reach out to me recently. We have done numerous missional marketing podcasts on the topic of volunteers in the church communications team. And you actually were one of the first guests that we had on the Missional Marketing Podcast several years ago talking about volunteers in the church. Because you actually, isn't that what your doctorate is in? Is it like volunteering stuff?
Yeah.
So you're a doctor in volunteering. And so this person reached out to me and said, hey, do you have like any volunteer position descriptions for people on your church communications team? And I scratched my head and I'm like, well, I don't. And I reached out to, I don't know, about 10 people on our team who I thought might, and no one did. And I thought, well, you know what? I can solve this problem. I pulled up Claude and I just started writing a prompt based on if I wanted a volunteer photographer in my church, what would I want that volunteer photographer to do? And so I asked Claude, I said, Claude, I want to write a volunteer description for a volunteer photographer in my church. These are some of the primary responsibilities that I want them to have, how frequently I want them to serve. Maybe I need to include some stuff about privacy in it. And I'm just kind of just sort of vomiting into the Claude prompt. And then before I hit, this is a trick. I've mentioned this on this podcast before, but I always do this when I'm getting into something that's complicated and I know that my prompt is probably not really well refined. I finish the prompt in Claude every single time by saying, ask me clarifying questions. The first thing that Claude will do is give me somewhere between 5 and 10 questions that are unclear about the prompt that I've written. And so, long story short, I wrote, put this in there. I clarified with the questions, and the first draft was like 90% usable. I'm like, this is actually really quite good. And I added a couple of additional prompts to get it to rewrite, to actually add like a privacy agreement that they had to sign, some things about equipment that they had to provide versus what the church would provide, a few little nuances there. And within 5 minutes, I had a very usable volunteer position description and agreement for a photographer. And I thought, huh, now what if I take this photographer agreement and position description and write it as like a social media coordinator? And so I basically used the same template and had Claude rewrite it for someone who would be helping coordinate social media. Then I also had it write one for someone who would be a videographer. And so within like less than a half hour, I had three really well, in my opinion, really well written and usable volunteer position descriptions for people on my church communications volunteer team. And I sent them over to the lady at the church who had asked me for them. And she was just like blown away. She had no idea that I had literally in a few minutes just kind of whipped these up in Claude. But I've saved them because I can use them. Oh, and if anybody is interested in having them, send David an email. And I'm sure we can get those to you. Or you can just go to Claude and create your own. By the way, that prompt that I use, I saw somebody on Twitter or Instagram or something that taught that ask me clarifying questions prompt. Gemini fails at that 99% of the time. It just ignores the question and gives you results. Claude is very good at noting that you're asking it to ask for those clarifying questions.
Yeah.
Do you have any comments on that?
That's awesome. I love that you ask it to ask you clarifying questions, and that's super smart.
Oh, it really helps hone in on what you want it to do. One other thing that I do is, and this kind of goes back to the previous thing that you were discussing about using the different LLMs to create content. I will always, before I'm finished and say this is my last version, I will put it into Claude and I'll ask the question, how can I make this better? And Claude will always give somewhere between 5 and 10 bullet points on what you could do to improve it. Sometimes I agree, sometimes I don't. I did something earlier today and it gave me like 9 things that could potentially make it better. I only really liked 2 of them, so I incorporated the 2 that it suggested and moved on with what I thought was a pretty good, you know, final product on the piece of content that I was trying to put together. And just like that, ladies and gentlemen, something that AI can't fix. David might have been a little bit distracted while I was sharing that last example of how to use AI, because AI could not drive his son to soccer practice. So we had to pause in the middle of our podcast episode so that he could drive his son to soccer practice. But now he's back. And now we're fully focused, right, David? We're fully focused.
Eventually, AI could drive my son to soccer practice when an AI built engine in a car,
a driverless vehicle. I guess they're out there somewhere. They just don't have them in the suburbs of Cleveland, right?
They do not have them in the suburbs of Cleveland. So I'm now locked and focused, and my son is safely at soccer practice.
Okay. All right. Now, well, let's continue our conversation. I just shared a couple of examples, obviously, of things that I've done in AI recently. I have another one that I want to share, but I know you want to talk about SermonSpark a little bit. And I've been doing some stuff in SermonSpark too that I'd be happy to share as well. So talk a little bit about what you want to share.
So for those of you who may or may not know, we've developed an app called SermonSpark. SermonSpark is your AI-inspired tool for your sermons. And we launched something very awesome, which is free sermon transcription. And there's also about 5 tools that you can use your free sermon transcription with. And it is, oh man, I am so proud of it, because here's one thing that people may not know behind the scenes. When we built the transcription tool of SermonSpark, so here's your insider information just between us and the world who's listening to this podcast, is this. We built our transcription tool. We found the absolute best transcription technology that exists in order to transcribe sermons. People can transcribe from YouTube videos, from files. You can just share your transcript if you have it, whatever you want to do. And then we added stuff on top of that transcription tool to help it understand things like books of the Bible, et cetera. There are still things it gets wrong, and we will keep fixing them as we're able to. But what's exciting is just, I just feel very proud that we're not putting out just the cheapest run-of-the-mill transcription tool. It is the absolute best we could possibly create.
We've talked often on this podcast about how pastors can and should be using their transcripts. And so we won't go into the weeds of that today, but I want to share, I've been using the new transcription tool in SermonSpark the last couple of weeks I used it. I'm going to give you 2 examples of how I used it. One, I am currently preaching through a sermon series that I actually preached 10 years ago, and I no longer have the original notes and outlines of my original sermons, but I still have the YouTube videos or the video files. So I actually put an old sermon that I preached like 10 years ago. I'm preaching through the book of Colossians, doing expository preaching, and I loaded the link into SermonSpark, which gave me a nice cleaned transcript. Then I took that transcript and I dumped it over in Claude, and I asked Claude to write an outline so that I could re-preach the sermon without having to use the transcript. Because I don't like to preach from a manuscript. I prefer preaching from an outline. And when I actually went back and looked at it, I realized 10 years ago when I preached it, I'm actually a better preacher today than I was 10 years ago. And I actually had too much content. It was too long. So I actually then used Claude to help me take this sermon and split it into 2 separate sermons. So I used Claude, get some suggestions from Claude on how to kind of break up the content with the illustrations and the applications that I had. So basically, I got a 2-for-1 deal, but I used SermonSpark to get me a really good, clean transcript to do that with. Then, after I preached that sermon this week, we don't do video, but I do audio. So I uploaded my audio file into SermonSpark, got a clean transcript from this week's sermon. And then one of the tools that we actually have in SermonSpark is a devotional generator. So I hit the little button that said, create a 5-day devotional for me, and it created a 5-day devotional. When I looked at it, I thought, okay, this is very usable. It used the scriptures that I taught on and had some good suggestions. I then copied that, put it into Claude, and I told Claude, I've written a 5-day devotional on this particular passage of text in the Bible. And then I asked the question, how can I make it better? And then Claude gave me 3 or 4 suggestions. I thought a couple of them were worth implementing. I added those suggestions in. Voila, created a PDF out of it, and I had a 5-day devotional based on my transcript that started in SermonSpark and then finished in Claude. And it's just like we've said earlier, using multiple tools, SermonSpark's completely free, Claude I have to pay for. So it gave me really the opportunity to use that great transcript to create the devotional and then use Claude to kind of take it kind of up to the next level to get it where I want it to be. And it worked out really great for me. So that was a real world example of something I used it for this week.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's one of those things that I want people to know is that downloading the transcript from SermonSpark is a great place to start. And then bringing it into Claude is a great pathway to go. Or using one of our tools with your transcript and then taking that response into Claude is a great way to go too. One of the things that I think is actually a really cool, again, people may not know, is one of the tools we have is the devotion generator. We created the prompt so that if you put in a 1-day devotional, which is an option, you actually get, it's an entirely different thing. So you actually get a more robust, kind of like a big one day, you know, response from the sermon. And if you do 2 through 6 days, then you're going to get more of a something that, that a church could send out via SMS notification or quick emails or on social media, that kind of stuff. But it's that kind of stuff that I just, it excites me to think about how helpful that could be to pastors and churches. If on Monday morning, you get a one day big output of a devotion generator, you take that, create a very simple PDF, you immediately by Monday morning have something that and create a devotion or small group questions from that, you have almost have this really in-depth printable PDF that you can send out to the entire church, small group leaders, et cetera, from your Sunday sermon. Monday morning, 30 minutes into your morning, you are good to go.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. I mean, I'm a co-vocational pastor, right? So I have a full-time job, and yet I'm still trying to pastor a church. And so by being able to implement AI tools into my regular rhythm, it just, I mean, it saves me couple of hours a week. And those couple of hours a week, it does two things. One, it saves me a couple of hours a week. It gives me an editor on everything that I do. And as talented as I might like to think that I am, I'm learning that having an editor look over my shoulder and go, oh, actually, there's a couple of things that you could do there that would actually make that better. And I'm not having, I'm paying my editor $20 a month to have the Claude subscription, but really implementing these tools has really helped me a ton. So I want to applaud you and our team that has developed Sermon Spark. I think it's absolutely gold, and it's just going to keep getting better, and it's very exciting for me.
Yeah, we have so many ideas that are in the works for Sermon Spark and beyond. Oh man, I cannot wait! And the best part about it is that right now everything in it is free. At some point in the future, we're going to have a paid version. But for now and for the foreseeable future, I feel proud that we are offering churches the absolute best in this realm that is on the market that we could possibly offer, and it is completely free. And that's exciting. I feel so proud that we get to offer that.
Yeah, it's been really neat to see the whole thing come together. And now as an active user of it, I certainly appreciate it. Hey, one last thing that I want to share with you that I've done, because again, not everybody that listens to this podcast is actually like a senior pastor or preaching pastor. But another thing that I had to do just this week, it's just crazy and I love it. I had to put together a children's ministry plan to protect for our insurance company. And you know, you can buy them, you can subscribe to services where you get them, but I knew enough about what I wanted that I was able to, again, go into Claude and to Gemini, and I prompted to have my plan to protect for my children's ministry and vulnerable persons with all of the policies related to the state of Texas and all the stuff that I needed in there. And I got a draft, which again, I massaged a little bit with subsequent prompts. And then I turned it into an actual policy so that a person who is onboarding into our children's ministry, who has to do their background check and the whole nine yards, has a document that they sign and what they're agreeing to. And again, something that I remember having to put one of these together for a church that I was on staff of like 20 years ago. And it took us forever to put this thing together. I remember how just insanely laborious it was to get it all written and get it all right. And again, what we're using in this certain incarnation of our church life as a church plant is probably not what we're going to be using long term, but it gave me something to start with that I can actually implement now. And it, again, in less than a half hour, I had this whole thing kind of put together and massaged to have a workable document that would satisfy the needs of our insurance company, give us kind of the basic level of protection and guidance for our children's ministry staff and volunteers that we were looking for. And, you know, in a matter of literally just a few minutes. And I'm a solo co-vocational pastor who has limited time, and using an AI tool to pull that together was something that I can't even imagine. I would have even had the bandwidth to start it, you know, 2 years ago before ChatGPT hit the market.
Yes. That's, um, I, I love that. And I feel like what I wanted to do is like recap, because you have some, we've mentioned a few things that are just extra tips that we haven't like said out loud that from just things we've just said. So just to circle back, we talked about going to more than one platform when you're doing a task, ask more than one question, and kind of attached with that, what you said before was ask in your prompt the large language model to ask you questions to improve your prompt. Yeah.
Ask me clarifying questions.
What we just talked about with Sermon Spark was don't be afraid to cross-platform your tools. So if you start somewhere, you can take that and go to a platform that can do it better. So use more than one even platform. And one thing just circling that you've said this multiple times. So just to bring this out to the forefront, make sure that you are always the human in charge of your output. And when you've talked about your sermons, I don't know if people have caught this, but nowhere did Bart say, I had the large language model write my thing for me. In every circumstance, Bart was the human in charge. So, and then what you just said, again, you said the same thing. You said, hey, I was writing this policy. I was the human in charge of it. And I kind of, you know, added my own stuff. So that is one of our last tips I want to make sure is make sure whenever you are engaging a large language model, you are always the human in charge of your output.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It goes to something that we talked about in previous podcast episodes, which is the difference between AI generated versus AI assisted. So if you're creating images, and we haven't talked about that much, you talked about earlier about creating an image for some ads. And was that, did we record that part? I'm not even sure if we were talking about that before we
started. I was going to mention that. That was one last thing I wanted to mention is a way I used it just this past week. But so I'll get to that.
Yeah.
In a second.
So when you're using image generators, like you are literally generating an image from nothing, right? You're basically commissioning a piece of art, for lack of a better way of putting it. And you didn't put a single paintbrush stroke on that canvas. The tool did all of it. When you're using the large language models the way that I'm using them, I'm the originator of the content, or at least a significant percentage of the content. I'm just allowing the large language models to help me improve it, to make it better, to be an editor. Just like if you were writing a book and you were, you know, David C. Cook contracted you as a pastor to write a book that they were going to publish, they're going to assign an editor to you. And that editor is going to look over your shoulder and give you critique and criticism and feedback and tell you how you can make it better. That editor is going to ask you clarifying questions to get you to do that. And it's going to cost somebody a lot of money to have that editor do it. You can use Claude, ChatGPT, Gemini as that editor, and it doesn't cost you nearly as much. And you can use it to edit your sermons or any other content that you're working on.
Yeah. We'll combine them all to Claude GPT Mini.
Something like that. Yeah.
Like Brangelina or one of those, you know, those old combining people.
Yeah, you're dating yourself there.
I know. Okay. I don't know.
All right. Why don't you share about your image generation thing and then we'll wrap this up, because this has been a pretty, I hope it's been helpful and useful, but it's been a little bit long. So what's your last little illustration here?
Earlier this week, we're running ads to let people know about Sermon Spark. And we didn't have an ad image of a person. And what I was imagining is a person who was looking either happy or excited or thinking with a purple background, because Sermon Spark, the main color is purple. So I went to a few different AI image generating platforms and I asked for that image. It took me, you know, 15 minutes. I got a ton of them. But I eventually nailed down about two or three that were really good, sent those to our ad builder, and she used them. She thought they were better than anything, you know, she came up with from just the internet, and she used them. And it's one of those things that the power of what image generators can now do is getting better and better every single day. For the church, start bringing those images into your sermons. Start bringing those images into your slides. start using them for announcements, start putting them places, because they actually are really, really good.
I think, you know, that's probably going to warrant a podcast episode in and of itself. Just some best tips and tactics on how to use the image generation tools. I personally haven't had a whole lot of success with them. And I guess a lot of it is I sort of have given up out of frustration because it was just taking me much longer to get what I wanted. But I know you've spent a lot more time in them, and you've also rubbed shoulders with some other AI, we'll call them experts, who have really learned how to hone in and use some of those tools. So that's very cool. And maybe we'll have some more conversations about the image generation in the future.
Yes. Yeah. The new platforms come out all the time, and the newest platforms get better and better. So we can talk about in the future, but anyways, yeah, this has been a blast. And if nothing else, people are listening. This is what Bart and I talk about. So
exactly. This is kind of like one of our phone calls, except ordinarily you wouldn't have had to press pause to drive your son to soccer. You'd have just stayed on the phone while you were driving him to soccer, and we wouldn't have to have the break in the middle of the podcast. But anyway, glad that you got him to soccer practice. And for those of you who have actually made it through this entire podcast, thanks for sticking around. We hope that it's been helpful and useful for you. If you haven't yet subscribed wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, make sure that you subscribe so that you don't miss any future episodes. Our goal is to release an episode every other week. And for the most part, we've been doing that consistently lately. And therefore, if you subscribe, all of these episodes will be delivered right to your device and you won't miss them. If you're watching on our YouTube channel, leave us a comment. We'd love to engage with you there. I personally monitor the comments on our YouTube channel, and I would be happy to engage with you. If you have questions for David, you can leave them there on the YouTube channel and I'll make sure that he gets those. Anyway, David, this is Bart. I'm out. You out, we're out.